Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be speaking about the Android One program, keeping in mind the recent launch of the Xiaomi Mi A3, which is an Android One smartphone from the Chinese company. Now, this phone, we've completed the review just now. We are ready to tell you how this phone is. But the point of this episode is to speak about the Android One program itself, as the results have been, let's just say, mixed. It's not exactly been wildly successful as we had hoped it would be. Now, the Android One program, to give you a brief backgrounder, has been around for a while. In the first stint, Google had spent a lot of money marketing that program and signed up a lot of Indian smartphone manufacturers. And their tagline was something like, Apni kismat apne haath. And the goal was to make sure that Android software updates are delivered quickly, as a lot of phones were lagging two or three versions behind the current version of Android. And they wanted to bring this to low-end phones in particular. Now, that program failed spectacularly in its first instance, in spite of all the money that Google spent on advertising it. Somehow it just didn't pick up. Now, in its second stint, what Google did was allowed a few companies to join this program and give software updates, security updates, etc. quickly. And it took a more, let's just say, laid-back approach. They set a few rules and told the companies, if you want to sign up for this program, it'll be good for you, good for us, and let's partner on this and let's take it forward. So the Android One program guarantees 2 years of Android version updates and 3 years of security updates on each phone, which is the kind of long-term support that a lot of phones have been missing in the world of Android. Now, the most prominent example of Android One is Nokia. HMD Global, when they started this Nokia brand again after a brief hiatus thanks to Microsoft, they eventually ended up signing up for the Android One program, and now all the new phones that they launch, especially the new smartphones that they launch, are all a part of the Android One program as far as I'm aware. So Xiaomi has also been doing this pretty regularly, one phone per year. Now Mi A3 is the third phone they've launched, and you know, this program could end up being a success. We don't know yet, but so far it's been kind of mixed. So what do you think about this program? What can happen in this program? What is the future of this? We'll be discussing all of that in this episode. So first, let me introduce the people who are here. Royden Sarejo, our deputy reviews editor.
What's up?
And Aditya Shenoy, who's a resident Android enthusiast and
Pixel lover.
Yeah, doesn't love the Pixel at all.
Yeah. Hello, guys. Hello.
Okay, and I'm your host, Pranay Parab. Okay, so first, let's talk about the Xiaomi Mi A3 itself for a bit before we go on to speaking about the Android One program and its success or not. So, Aditya, do you want to maybe first highlight what's new in this phone, and have they fixed what was wrong with the Mi A2?
Okay, so first of all, the Mi A series is like a series of Android One smartphones from Xiaomi, and the A3 is the third smartphone in this particular series. So the Mi A2 was launched last year, and it was a decent smartphone. In fact, it was overall, when you look at the performance and the hardware, it was decent, but camera is where it stood out. We can say that it was one of the best camera smartphones under 20,000 rupees at price point, back then. With the Mi A3, obviously, I think it has, people are expecting it to be better in terms of camera, and in terms of hardware also, they're expecting the same thing. So what does the Mi A3 bring to the table? So first of all, I'd say that we had two major pain points with the Xiaomi Mi A2. That was, the first one was that Xiaomi got rid of the 3.5mm headphone jack, and on a budget phone, I think it is a bit of an inconvenience for people, because see, on flagships, people can usually go in and buy a Bluetooth headset and they don't have to live the dongle life. But if you are, looking at a budget smartphone, well, not everyone will, find a Bluetooth. They probably will think, okay, it's another unnecessary expense. So it did not make sense in the budget segment, and Xiaomi did that anyway with the Mi A2. And the second thing is that it did not have expandable storage. So if you bought the 64GB variant of the Mi A2, you're stuck with 64GB. If you bought the 128GB version, you're stuck with that. And that was a little expensive at that price point. So the Mi A3 fixes that. You have the 3.5mm headphone jack and you have expandable storage. So that is convenient for people in this, sub 15 or sub 20,000 rupee price point. And what new it brings to the table is that it's now got a triple camera setup. And the one thing worth pointing out is that it has a Sony IMX586 sensor. Now, this isn't very common. Right up till this launch, I think the most affordable smartphone with this particular sensor was the Redmi K20 Pro, and that too was like up, 27,000 or 28,000 rupees. And
the it was not used on the Realme X or anything, right?
No, it actually, the Realme X had the 586. But again, it was more expensive than the Mi 8.
Than the Mi 8.
Yeah. So I think this is maybe bringing in that sensor at a really
even under 15,000 rupees. Yeah. That is the only way of putting it, yeah. And so the camera performance is good there. And in terms of battery capacity, that was one pain point with the Mi A2 as well. 3,000 milliamp hour battery, so it would barely last you one day. With the Mi A3, it's a 4,030 milliamp hour battery. So it can go beyond a day. We managed a day and a half in our HD video loop test. 16 hours of, that is what it managed. So overall, I would say the Mi A3 is decent. But there's one thing that we noticed and were a little surprised that is the fact that it has an HD plus display.
Yep.
Now, the Mi A1 and the Mi A2 both have full HD plus displays. And the HD panel was kind of a bummer there, primarily because, well, I don't remember seeing a HD plus display from Xiaomi above 10,000 rupees. And this is for their Redmi phones as well, which are like aggressively priced. So I don't see the point in, an HD plus panel for the Mi A3.
Yeah. So what do you think about?
Now, the thing is that we don't have anything against, I personally don't have anything against HD displays. We have seen HD displays below 10,000 and they are, they're decent. I mean, obviously, they lack the certain sharpness of when you're like reading text or whatever. But they're not bad displays. But like, I think on the Mi A3, for some reason, you could actually see like the pixels. If you look hard enough, you could actually see like a grainy sort of a texture to the display. Which
it
is
wasn't very sharp. And
it wasn't exactly sharp. And there was this sort of blurriness and graininess. You could see like this mesh pattern of sorts, almost
pixelation
on icons, and just looked dirty, and like it just looked like there was something on the display which was like obstructing the view.
At first we thought it was a screen protector that we did not take off, but no, there's nothing that
it wasn't. So it's just I think they've maybe to hit that really low price, and given the features that they're giving you in that, I'm guessing that this is not the best AMOLED panel around. I mean, it clearly doesn't look like one of the best AMOLED panels, even for the budget phone. So that was, I think, the most disappointing part. Had they used maybe a slightly better quality panel and still had the HD resolution, it would have still probably been fine. But that is probably the most disappointing part of this.
Yeah, so of course at this price point, given HD display is a disappointment. And honestly, that brings me to the larger point that I wanted to make here. This is just my personal opinion. It's something I've been feeling very strongly ever since I've seen the first Mi A series device, which is the Mi A1. I don't think Xiaomi really wants to sell Android One phones, because when you see what they do with the Redmi Note series, with each phone that comes out, we are like, okay, fine, there are some flaws, not like the phone is perfect, but there are no obvious deal breakers, such as this HD display on this one, the lack of a headphone jack and expandable storage on the Mi A2, and a horribly buggy hardware-software integration in the Mi A1. Now, anecdotes are not data, sure, I'll give that disclaimer, but personally, I know three people who've had issues with the proximity sensor on the Mi A1, where, you take the phone close to your ear to talk, and the screen doesn't turn itself off. That should happen, right? If you take the phone close to your ear, the display should automatically turn off. Then what happens is the phone, your cheek will touch the phone screen, and automatically the mute button, the speaker button, or the keypad will start getting triggered. So it's really annoying to have a bug like that. And similarly, I've heard multiple other complaints also about the Mi A1. So let's just say that maybe it wasn't the best Xiaomi phone out there by any stretch of the imagination. But if you see what you hear about the Redmi Note series, really powerful phones with really good hardware for the price. And, people have been using them for gaming as well. And a lot of people have been impressed with the cameras. Now with the Redmi Note 7 Pro, we've seen that it's a really capable all-round performer with like no obvious flaws as such, apart from a slight ad problem, which is common to all Xiaomi phones.
Yep.
Now, with the Mi A series, I somehow don't get that feeling that they're putting in 100%. They are making some compromise or the other, which I would qualify as a deal breaker. So, do you guys think that Xiaomi has, is motivated and is committed for the long run to keep Android One phones around, or are they doing it just because, they have to put out an Android One phone out there?
Well, I would say the easiest way of looking at it is look at the amount of, Android One smartphones they're launching in a year, and look at the amount of Redmi smartphones they're launching in a year. That kind of shows where their, attention and energy is going. So I wouldn't say that they're like sabotaging the Android One program devices on purpose, but it's just that probably it's not getting that the kind of return that the Redmi smartphones are getting, because I've frequently seen that, you know, okay, you know, so this Redmi smartphone has now crossed a million devices in sales and stuff. I haven't seen one about the Mi A series that often. So I'm not sure if they're that committed to it. It's okay. It's a good device. It's a good combination. It's a good approach. But I don't see them pushing it that aggressively like they do, like they sell the other smartphones. The Mi A2, for example, for the longest time, it did not have any price cuts. Like recently, when it was about to be phased out, that is when we saw major discounts coming in. Occasionally, during the sales, it would go out. But we've seen Redmi smartphones being discounted on probably a monthly or every 2 months, you've seen the price being slashed off one or the other Redmi smartphone. And that way, even when I look at, say, the Redmi Note 7 Pro, like let's compare the Redmi Note 7 Pro to the Mi A3. There's a price difference of 1,000 rupees between the two variants. With the Note 7 Pro, you're getting a better processor. You're getting a full HD display. And the software is tuned to such a level. So even that has a 4,000 mAh battery. But we've seen like 19 hours of screen on time in our HD video loop test, in spite of it having a full HD plus display. Whereas with the Mi A3, it's 16 hours, same kind of battery capacity, probably a more efficient processor in the form of the 665, and it's just not there. So probably they've not tweaked it to the best, of what they're capable of. I just don't know what to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think it feels a bit half-hearted.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying that Xiaomi is doing it deliberately something.
No, absolutely.
Maybe they're just not able to invest that kind of resources into their A-series devices.
See, this is another point as well. So when you have MIUI, it's distinct. It's only there on Xiaomi smartphones. The Mi A2 or the Mi A3, the A-series smartphones, deliver the exact same experience that somewhere down the line, the person can just go and buy another Nokia smartphone and it'll be exactly the same. They are heavily invested in MIUI primarily because if someone who's using a MIUI phone likes it, they'll keep coming back to Redmi smartphones only. Like say if I'm bored of a Mi A3, down the line I can probably buy a Pixel 3a XL if it goes on for a good price, and I'll get the exact same software. And also get the commitment for software update and security updates.
Or, Nokia 5.1 Plus, 6.1 Plus.
Anything. Yeah. Like, for that matter. Like, you're not bound to a company by its software. And since it's open, I'm not sure if... And again, there's no ads, so there's no other revenue coming in as well, right?
Yeah. So, post-purchase monetization is a kind way to put ads on the smartphone.
Yes, sorry about that.
Yeah. So, I think that's not happening as well for Xiaomi. So, maybe they're not even able to price it as aggressively as they would price a Redmi phone. Now, I think, personally, I feel that if the Mi A3 with the same hardware had shipped with MIUI, maybe they could have hit that sub 10,000 rupee price segment for that. You know why I say this? Because Realme has done a similar thing for the Realme 5, a phone with a similar processor, and they have a 3GB RAM, 32GB storage variant as well of that. And Snapdragon 665 is a processor on that one, just like the Mi A3. And perhaps maybe Xiaomi could have gone closer to that 10,000 price point had they been able to ship this with MIUI. Now, all of this is pure speculation, of course, but we just haven't seen that kind of value for money coming in from the Mi A-series devices. Even if maybe you make an exception and say that, all right, when the Mi A2 launched, it was maybe the only phone with the Snapdragon 660 available in India at that point.
The aggressive price.
Yeah, so I think at 17,000 or whatever it launched at, it was a fairly decently priced phone. But I don't think you can say the same thing about the Mi A3 in spite of its AMOLED panel and decent cameras.
Well, honestly, I would have been fine with this price of the Mi A3 had they given a full HD plus display. Yeah. And I'm completely fine with the capacitive fingerprint scanner. That in-display fingerprint scanner, well, at this point, like there was no need of adding it there. It's just that, okay, they thought, let's bring in something new for the A series. And that move kind of backfired because we're looking at comments from people as well. Like they are saying, no, the display is something that they're not fine with.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just about resolution, right? It's also your day-to-day experience which gets affected. So you'll see blurry icons, blurry text. And blurry text is something I just can't tolerate because my phone has become my number one reading device. So I read so many articles on my phone. And if the text is blurry, I would be really unhappy. Doesn't matter if the screen is LCD, but give me text that is not blurry. So especially if I'm paying more than 10,000 rupees, I should be able to get a full HD plus display.
Yeah, so that's the norm right now, right?
Yeah.
Like every phone that's over 10,000 rupees has to be full HD plus.
Yeah, so that's, you know, pretty much a big disappointment when it comes to the Mi A3. It's still a fairly solid phone though. But, you know, on the other hand, let's maybe take a look at the bigger picture. Now, the Android One program, where do you guys think this is going? Now, on the one hand, we have some companies such as Nokia, who are like totally committed to this. Every new phone they launch is a part of this program, and they're giving in software updates. Like as we were recording this news, I mean, an announcement from Nokia came in where they're saying that they'll be putting Android 10, which is what Android Q will be called. No more desert names for you guys. So Android 10 will be coming into many of their Android phones by the end of this year. So that's a pretty strong commitment out there. And we've seen that they've even followed it up with phones such as the Nokia 5.1 Plus, I think, which has also been getting updates. So in the lower end of the spectrum, usually updates are really delayed or never come at all. With the Nokia 5.1 Plus, at least they are following on that update schedule, if you know, even if it is slightly slower than what you get on more premium phones. So on the one hand, you have companies such as Nokia. On the other hand, you have companies such as Xiaomi, who are doing just one phone a year. And then we've also seen a couple of other companies jumping in on the bandwagon, such as Motorola, now who've launched like two or three phones in the past year as a part of this program. But do you see this thing sustaining in the long run? Is there anything in it for manufacturers to, you know, make Android One devices?
I mean, it's hard to say because if you think about, if you look at when Android One first launched in the original thing, we also had a lot more phones launching with Android One, and that has been reducing steadily. Like even though Motorola has Android One phones, they are not launching it in all markets, right? I mean, it's, I think the last ones were only in the US and some other markets. Those didn't really come to India.
Yeah, so but I think of late they've launched a couple which are part of the Android One program. I think it was a Motorola One Vision.
Yeah.
And I think this one. There was one more.
The Motorola One Turbo.
Ha, One Turbo. I think. Yeah. I forgot the name of that. But yeah, they had definitely One Power. Yeah. Motorola One Power.
Oh, yeah. The One Power. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, see, the phone was there, we almost forgot about it. That's how many phone launches have happened since then.
Even if, like you said, you've got Motorola, Xiaomi and Nokia. Apart from this, any other manufacturers you can think
Infinix
of?
I mean, Infinix used to.
Okay,
or,
Infinix. Yeah. And then anything
again,
else?
Again, like Infinix was what? One phone on Android One?
Infinix. We had a couple of them, I think.
So, the
one.
Note 5 stylus, from the top of my head, I can remember these two
smartphones. Yeah, but other than that, I can't think of any Infinix phone that was...
Of late, at least, no.
So, these four brands, anything else we can remember with Android One?
Yeah, that's the problem, right? You made a good point there. Yeah. Like, can't even remember which ones are Android One because there are so few of them doing it regularly.
Yeah.
And Xiaomi at least has like carved a niche for its Android One phones that you'll do one a year and it'll be a memorable phone for whatever reason, whether it's for good cameras or for lack of a headphone jack or lack of a full HD plus display. That's a different matter. But at least they've been doing it regularly. But Nokia is the only one that's embraced this, right?
Yeah, I think Nokia has because of, I think, some sort of a maybe long-term partnership deal that they've struck with Google. And I think to an extent, it is sort of working in their favor. Like, I think most of their phones, like, you know, they don't have to really focus too much on the software because it's, I mean, a lot less can go wrong if you customize it less, I would say. And which is why I think Samsung, LG and all these guys take longer for updates because they have to check each and everything, right?
Yeah.
As and when a version of Android changes or if they are planning on releasing their TouchWiz or whatever Experience UI on the next version of Android, they need to make sure that whatever changes they have added in the skin is also working with the new code or the new APIs that Google introduces in the new versions. So and Samsung has a million versions of like a single phone for different markets.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of, you know, like a lot of quality checks which need to be done before you can actually roll out the update. That's, I think, one advantage why Nokia has stuck to the Android One is because they don't want that headache and then they can just focus on making maybe good hardware and maybe good design and leave the software to Google.
Yeah, but then, you know, if you look at it, Nokia phones that have launched in India have not been able to offer that kind of value for money that you get from, say, companies such as Xiaomi, Realme, and a bunch of others which have, you know, shown up recently. If you look at the price to performance ratio, like the kind of processors that Nokia is able to pack in, the kind of camera performance you get and battery life you get from their phones, I think it's still a step behind these Chinese companies that have really like raised the bar.
Maybe I think also it could be due to the fact that I think whatever phones HMD Global releases, it is for online and offline. I don't think they are targeting only online.
Online, yeah.
Whereas if you see the new up-and-comers like Realme, you know, I mean, their claim to fame is because they have managed that aggressive pricing, and the only reason they can do that aggressive pricing is because they are online only and through flash sales. So I think that could be one of the reasons why these Chinese companies always have an edge or always one step ahead of Nokia phones is probably because they have that edge. Like they can afford to, you know, price it that low because of they don't have many overheads.
What I think is with Android One, what Google is doing is like for manufacturers, then like how is it helping manufacturers? Fine, you'll be able to update your smartphones to the latest version of Android very quickly, but apart from that, what else? So when you have a custom UI, say you have your FunTouch OS, Color OS, or even One UI on Samsung, what you do is you train your user, like you kind of make them used to a particular UI, and they tend to stick to it. We've seen, like we know a couple of people who would only buy Samsung smartphones or will only buy Vivo smartphones primarily because
I know a couple of huge MIUI fans.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, like one of these people now was using a Redmi phone and switched to the Mi A1 and absolutely could not handle it. Was like, exactly. No, I want MIUI. This whatever this software is, I don't like it at all.
See, because what happens is, like for people who've used MIUI or have switched between two different UIs, you know that there's again a learning curve. When you buy a different UI, you have to again relearn where stuff like is, because they take their time and they redesign the entire settings app. So finding a basic setting also takes time. People don't want to have that relearning phase. So they tend to stick to one UI. And what that kind of helps is that the manufacturer keeps getting repeat customer for their new models. And Android One does not solve that, right? Because Android One, you get the same interface, the same UI on every smartphone from say a Nokia, Motorola to a Xiaomi. So that does not mean that someone who's bought a Mi A2 is going to come back and buy the Mi A3. He'll probably go and buy the Nokia 7.1. And then Xiaomi has lost a customer there. There's no way of retaining that customer, which, you know, if the customer was on MIUI, would have said, "Nayar, this does not work," and would have gone back.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't have any distinguishing point as such in terms of software.
Yes.
But for customers, it's good because you get updates regularly, and fast security updates in particular come really quickly to your phone, and very few manufacturers apart from those on Android One have made that commitment that security patches will push in fast.
Well, I agree with you, but at the same point, I know this sounds very unlike me, but honestly, who cares about updates at this point? People are like, "Ha, fine." I know people who don't update their smartphones because they think an update will probably break something. Or make it slow.
Yeah. So that is something that, you know, Google has actively got to fight against. Yeah. It's unfortunate, but this is the reality we live in. Now, the other thing that I want to bring to everyone's attention is that with this Android One program, you know, a lot of us in the media or a lot of us in the world of journalism have championed the cause of stock Android. But is stock Android really the best version of Android? Now, that's something that is up for debate. There are a few people who are rabid fans of stock Android, and I tend to disagree with them, because the whole point of Android is that you should be able to customize it, and there should be different flavors of it. This was how Android was supposed to be like from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So since when did the stock or vanilla, or I should say the most bare bones version of Android, become the best version of Android? So that's question number one. Question number two is, these same people who are fans of stock Android, they start praising the Google Pixel for its software. Now, Google Pixel, is it on stock Android? The answer is no. So there are those additions that Google makes on top which make it a unique experience and which add a lot. So once again, the version of Android that Android One phones are getting is extremely bare bones. The companies are not allowed to add too many preloaded apps as well. I think Google has struck different deals with different companies, if I'm not mistaken. So Motorola adds a couple of apps. Moto Actions, is it called? I forgot the name of that. And Moto Help. Yeah. Similarly, Xiaomi has Mi Community. And
that is the only one app that's there. And I think even Nokia has its own support app that comes preloaded on
Basically, more than one or two apps you're not allowed to preload. what, and that too, that app should be really useful to people. So that Moto Actions one is basically like a gesture app. So you can maybe, you know, wave your phone around like a sword to turn on the flashlight or something like that. So things like that you can do with that app. So you basically are not allowed to customize the UI much to add some features, which I would say, you know, some features could even be necessary features, such as, let's say, Android doesn't have a screen recorder. So...
or even call recording for that matter.
Yeah, so the stock Android version that you get by default doesn't ship with a call recorder app, doesn't ship with a screen recorder, things that may be really important to you. So, you know, in some cases, I think in the Xiaomi's Mi A3's case, it has an infrared emitter, but no app to, you know, use that. So if you want to use your phone like a remote for your AC or TV, you can't do it without installing an app. So in a lot of cases, the version of Android that Android One phones get, that is pretty limited in my opinion. So I don't think it's the best version of Android out there. And I don't think people should argue that, you know, this is the version that everyone should get.
Yeah.
And you can customize it by installing Nova Launcher and installing all the apps is a simple tap away on Google Play Store. Yeah. Frankly, a lot of people who will be buying phones don't even want to go to Google Play to download anything. So preloaded apps are not even that bad a thing, depending on what apps are preloaded. So Rodin, what do you think? I mean, you've used several Android phones. Are you happy with stock Android, or, you know, do you prefer some customizations?
Yeah, I mean, I do prefer stock Android, but, like, you know, to a point, like, I agree with you that at times when you're looking for even, like, let's say basic features like an audio recorder, even that's not there, that you need to download something like that. Or you take a screenshot, you want to annotate on it before sending it. You can't even do that. You can't edit a screenshot.
Yeah, until very recently, even a file manager was not included by default. Google launched that Files Go app, which is a bare bones app. It's not the best file manager out there either, but still.
So, yeah. So, I mean, definitely there are limitations. But, you know, I mean, what drew people initially, at least towards stock Android, is that it wasn't burdened by, you know, unnecessary, you know, changes to the way it looked. And, you know, if it there wasn't much overhead to the SOS, like the processor. So in the sense, even in the long run, you still had like a smoother, fluider experience compared to, let's say, the skins of the past, which, you know, used to bog down the phone as the years went on. Of course, that has changed. Like, even I think in the recent skins have gotten a lot leaner. And everyone, I think, from even Oppo to Samsung, to many other manufacturers, are trying to, you know, cut away the unwanted, redundant apps. For instance, like, you know, many have, you know, stopped installing their own version of the Gallery app and just using Google Photos instead. So a lot of redundancy has been cut down, and, you know, they're trying to make the skin leaner, closer towards stock Android, so that, you know, I think in the long run, it would just be a better experience, I think.
Yeah, and one point to add here is that for the longest time, I mean, let's not forget that Android itself, stock Android itself, was really messed up. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember, but Google Chrome and Android browser used to coexist on phone. Not a very long time ago. I don't think it's been, what, 2 or 3 years when Sundar Pichai took over. Only after that, or just around that time, they removed that stock Android browser and replaced it with Google Chrome. So yeah, that wasn't very, very long ago. So that's something to remember. And I mean, I still remember the time when Android used to get like a new version every 6 months or something. And that would mean that, you know, your phone would be 4 versions behind by the time the end of the year rolls around. Because first of all, most people would buy affordable Android phones, right? So those phones would launch with a version of Android that was 2 years old. And then you would buy that affordable Android phone maybe 6 months after it was launched. So because of that, you know, you would already be like very far behind. So a lot of those worries have gone away now that Google has slowed down the pace of releasing updates. But still, if you look at it, the Android One program, in my opinion, it benefits Google more than anyone else. I'm not even sure if it benefits users, because some tech-savvy people, okay, so people sitting in this podcast and talking here, we will definitely prefer Android One, because for us, customizing the phone and installing all the apps we need is basically a minute's worth of work.
Yeah.
And we'll get it done. And even if it takes a little more time, we'll do it because this is what we like doing. But for many people, it's like, I get a phone, I don't want to do all that, you know, I don't want all that headache of changing the wallpaper and, you know, again and again going and customizing the app icons and all of those things. And, you know, I actually have noticed this. A lot of people like that feature where you see lock screen ads because the wallpaper changes again and again.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really like, it feels funny to say this, but I don't think Android One really benefits customers as such, like what people want and what Google wants to give them. is something slightly different. Now, I'm all for Google giving updates regularly, and I'm all for like stock Android. But unfortunately, I don't think that's what the market wants. And so far, based on the sales we've seen for these Android One phones from various companies, I don't exactly think that the program has been a major success. What do you guys feel on that?
Well,
the sales of Android One phones.
Yeah. So, first of all, with respect to Android One smartphones, we already established that not a lot of smartphones are available out there. Not a lot of manufacturers offer the Android One program. Now, when you can also see that the manufacturers aren't gaining anything other than, a bragging point, probably saying that, okay, our device runs on Android One, the cleanest or stock Android that is possible out there. Apart from that, they're not gaining anything. So I don't even see them putting their marketing energies in it. And what we've seen is that whatever is marketed very, very well, that is kind of works in our country, because we've seen people with lots of Vivo and Oppo smartphones, primarily because of their aggressive marketing. Even Xiaomi to quite an extent, now that they've started doing aggressive marketing. So Android One, marketing, I think, is one of the reasons for it. And again, people, majority of them, I'm not sure if they really see the advantage in stock Android. Like back in the day, stock Android was something a lot of us preferred, primarily because you did not have any clutter to slow the smartphone down. And at that point, it was necessary because the processors weren't as powerful. Yeah. The GPUs were really weak. And, you had manufacturers putting on their skins, which were really heavy, and those caused the smartphone to slow down. Like your smartphone would run completely fine, and next year when there's probably a new skin that they've added post the update, the phone will start lagging. Now that isn't an issue anymore, and that is why stock Android was sought after back in the day. But currently you've got very powerful processors, very powerful GPUs that can run even probably broken UIs on it seamlessly. Mm-hmm. So that is something that, so the actual need of stock Android is not there. And what manufacturers are also doing is with One UI, honestly, Samsung has done a very good job there, bringing it very close to stock Android. So I think people who like a very simple interface, the One UI just works for a lot of them. So
yeah,
I don't
UI
see
is
that,
a very nicely designed UI. I mean, compared to TouchWiz, it's a huge leap.
Yeah.
And I still think it's really nicely designed overall. I mean, even if you don't compare it to TouchWiz. So there's that. So now the final point I want to bring up before we wrap this episode is a controversial question, something that I've been thinking of over the last, 3-4 weeks.
Okay.
Now, is stock Android, or at least the version that you get on Android One phones, is it really free of ads? Now, we keep giving Xiaomi a lot of stick, saying that MIUI has a whole bunch of ads and there's so much spam on this. But if you think about it, now there was a report recently which said that Google's Discover feed is going to start getting ads. Now, that probably will start in the US and will eventually roll out to India, most likely. But ultimately, how does Google make money? I mean, ads is their primary business, right?
Yeah.
Maps is not their primary business. Search is not their primary business. Yeah. Ads are their primary business. So, if you know Android at all, you know that a bunch of Google apps have to be preloaded.
Yeah.
You can't ship a phone with Android One without shipping it with Chrome, with Google Maps.
So it's like a Google
bundle.
A bundle that is required. I think GMS is what these guys call it.
Yeah, so those apps, all of them, I think, have ads, maybe with the exception of one or two. Google Maps has ads, and so do, a whole bunch of these phones. So is it really free of ads?
Well, is it going to be free of ads? That's an interesting question. See, I would say that if the Google feed is going to start getting ads, it's going to be there on pretty much all other smartphones as well. So in a way, the experience, the ad experience is going to be same throughout. So this wouldn't stand out. Now, with MIUI, for example, in your notification shade, you'll have random stuff being pushed in. And that is something that is out of the ordinary.
Often
that,
not safe for work.
Yeah, often questionable content at times. So that way, that kind of sticks out. And that is the problem I have with, these spammy notifications and ads, the ad problem that is there. With the Google feed having, yes, you will notice it at first. But say if you've been only, like a lot of people I know who've had MIUI phones, they think ads was a part of the entire equation. They're like, okay, we never noticed that, you know, this is not normal.
Yeah.
Like the push notifications from ads. And not only that, I'm not only talking about pre-installed apps or even bloatware that comes pre-installed on the phone. Even apps you install, you know that there's a notification spam issue. These apps want you to open it. So that is why you're constantly bombarded with it. So this is a problem that's not going to go away. With the ad problem, yes, at first you're going to notice it, and I'm not... you know, for it, I would still say, you know, I'd want an ad-free experience. But as long as they kind of denote it or give you an option to opt out, probably, I'm sure they're not going to do that.
Yeah.
But that is something, you know, it's going to be the same everywhere. So I think people just get used to it.
Yeah, I think, I'm not saying that people are going to start protesting en masse against this or something, but it's definitely a question to think about. You know, a lot of people, as you said, they don't even notice the MIUI ad problem.
Yeah.
And that's something that's so obvious to a lot of us.
Yeah.
But then if people are not noticing that, then are they likely to notice the Google ads? They most probably are not. But then it's sort of unfair to let Android get away with this, in the sense that let's say that these are all Google services. You'll get ads no matter where you use them. But, well, Android One program, right? These are coming preloaded. It's not like I have an option of not using them.
Now, this is something we've seen on, say, your web browser as well. Whenever you search for something on Google, the first three links are probably ads and people still end up clicking the first three because they don't know those are ads. For them, it just looks like links, and they would want, you know, that kind of answers their query. And they go for it. Probably if it is targeted in that manner, I'm saying it would be less painful. I'm not saying it's acceptable. It'll just not be as annoying as the spammy notification.
Yeah, true that. So there are, I think, you know, with this, we can maybe safely say that there are some versions of Android that are easily going to be better than stock Android. Now, I think Oxygen OS needs to be called out here. As far as I'm aware, their interface now is... more or less free of ads and clutter.
I think there
was some problem in between where like some data was being sent to some Chinese servers or something like that. There was some story that had come in between about a year or so ago, but since then they've fixed that. But other than that, they've been they've had a good track record. So OnePlus is, you know, one manufacturer that's done a decent job here. Is there any other UI you can think of that you appreciate and, you know, you think is remarkably clutter-free?
I can say that even Asus, they no longer call it Zen UI. Now, I'm not sure exactly what they call it now, but it is closer to stock Android. And it has a few customizations on it. Like the 6Z, for example, it's got that smart key. So it's got a few more customizations for that. And apart from that one UI, that is something that I really like. And it's very well designed. And yeah, that's about it. ColorOS 6 kind of comes close.
ColorOS 6 doesn't really have as bad of a spammy notification and ad problem as what we'd seen earlier. I think ColorOS 5.2 was a little spammy.
Yes.
But 6, they've improved a lot. So there are so many other options out there that I personally think it's good to have this. And Android One program, it has its place in the world. A lot of people should... I mean, just because you're buying an affordable phone doesn't mean you should be forced to use custom UI.
Yes.
If you want to use stock Android, there should be an option in the market. But once again, I'm not a huge fan of like advocating Android One for everyone. It's good for some people, but it's definitely not good for every single person out there.
Yeah.
And in fact, I would say that it's probably not good for the majority of people using Android because of their preferences.
Absolutely.
Like a lot of people would prefer more customization or preloaded apps. I hate to say this, but you know, based on the people, I've spoken to many people about how they use their phones. And the feedback I get mostly is, what is stock Android?
Exactly. No, so you know, with stock Android, this just one point I wanted to add is that if I know people like, you know, my uncle or aunt would ask me for a recommendation, I would primarily recommend stock Android, primarily because I know that I would get a call from them later asking, or where's the setting, or how do I change that? And I know my way around stock Android, whereas on a custom UI, I would have to have the phone in hand while using it. Because stock Android, it's the entire, the UI is same throughout, and it kind of makes it easy for troubleshooting over the phone compared to same UI, because the settings are rearranged even for you know, a few other UIs as well. FunTouch OS, for example, like quick toggles, you have to swipe up from the bottom of the screen. Now that is something a lot of people exactly, so you know, that way it kind of brings uniformity, and that is one thing that I appreciate about Android One there. But does it still make sense? Well, I'm not so sure right now.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you know somebody who's already used to maybe MIUI or ColorOS or whatever and likes it, then switching them to stock Android might actually be bad, because if for the first week or so, they'll be complaining that this is not working for me. Where is this particular app that I used to love? And other complaints like that. So I think the moral of the story is probably that Android One is good to have. I mean, there's no problem as such. But it's not the best thing out there for everyone. And also, I don't think it's been as huge a success as Google would have wanted it to be. Right now, I think apart from Nokia, there are no other phone manufacturers that are really pursuing it with, you know, all their efforts in it.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised when they're launching Android 10 if they bring out a new program trying to revive it, because that is what we've seen with Google, right? If a particular program kind of fails, they will try to revamp it. Like, you've seen Gtalk going away. You've got Duo. You've got Allo. You've heard about Allo now? No.
I think it's dead.
Yeah. So what they will do is probably try to restructure it, change a few clauses, because they want it to succeed. Because they want their software, like, you know, core software to be running everywhere else. So I think they'll probably, if at all, we can, it might just happen. Android 10 and a new Android One program. Because even with the revamped Android One program, the first one was mainly for budget devices. The new one, well, they opened it up a bit, but we still haven't seen an uptake. So they might just do it again.
Yeah,
you never know.
I actually would not be terribly surprised if they announced some changes to that program, or made it even more easier, or made it more appealing for developers to sign up.
Yes.
Because I think the incentives to join Android One program right now, as you said earlier, very few for manufacturers, to be perfectly honest. I mean, we hate preloaded apps, we hate ads, but these things allow manufacturers to make some additional revenue, because phone sales, honestly, I don't think it makes that much money, especially in the budget segment. The margins are wafer thin. Competition is way too intense.
Yeah.
So a lot of these things help manufacturers supplement it. I'm not for preloaded apps, but for manufacturers to make money, that's one of the few things that they can do. So who knows, like, what is coming in the future? But I suppose if Google wants this to succeed, they'll have to incentivize it better.
Better.
You know, maybe, I don't know what they can do. Like, do you have any thoughts on what Google can do apart from, see, paying every single company to take Android One beats the purpose? Like,
well, probably helping them with marketing it better. Because currently what these guys are doing is, they have got better returns on their other devices. So they would rather spend their money there and recover majority of it than, you know, say promoting Android One smartphones, because, well, it's not there, you know, based on the pointers we've discussed here. They can probably help, Google can probably help them market it better or create awareness, as in, why do people want, what's the importance of Android One and why should people have it? Why should people care about software updates? Why should they care about security updates? If they kind of educate the masses there, then I can see that happening. But other than that, nothing else.
Yeah, that would be a colossal investment on Google's behalf.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is that begs the question, is Google going to do it?
Yeah, apart from Google Maps and maybe Google Pixel, I haven't seen them investing that kind of money anywhere in India, at least.
Exactly.
So it's hard to see that happening. But anyway, that was an interesting discussion. So we'll conclude this episode of Orbital with that. And we'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. You can subscribe to this podcast, rate us, and review us. These things, they help us a lot. You can do this via your favorite podcasting app, such as Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts, or whichever other app you prefer. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week.